Please give me a thumbs up if you can hear me okay. All right, excellent. So today is a special day in GICF. We have every year where we share GICF's theme for the year. Some people might be curious, well, it's March. Why are you just sharing the theme now? In GICF, we normally do a different, more like the Chinese Lunar Year, because historically, people have left and then returned after Chinese New Year. So we normally do announce the time in March. So I'm excited to be able to share with you today what the GICF theme will be next year. But before we do that, a pop quiz. So the question is not too difficult. What was GICF's theme this past year? Now, what I want you to do is to unmute your microphones, but don't say anything yet. I'll count to three. So everyone, now's your chance. If you want to unmute your microphones, unmute your microphones. I'll count to three, and then you can yell out last year's theme. All right, are you ready? Okay, let's see if you can get it. One, two, three.
Pressing on.
Pressing on, okay. Great. So a lot of people can remember that theme. But can you remember the theme from the year before?
Shine the light.
Shine the light.
Shining the light. Excellent. And how about the year before that?
Living in the kingdom.
Growing.
Good try. Good try. Very close. Yes. Expanding the kingdom. Expanding the kingdom. So if you want a brief refresher on previous year's themes, we encourage you to go to gicfweb.net. You can listen to previous sermons and remember all of those good sharings, good sermons on God's word for previous themes. So pressing on, before we move on to next year's theme, let's just review a little bit about the last year and last year's theme. When we look back, I think we can really see that God's providence was at work each year when we chose a theme. Last year, we really did not know how appropriate the theme was going to be. We chose this theme in January after much prayer and thought, but it turns out that GICF as a church has never faced a more challenging year. For the entire time, actually, we had this theme. We were unable to meet all together on Sunday mornings as we did previously. And we didn't just face challenges as a church. Many, many individuals and families faced challenges as well. Some families were separated from each other for months or even the whole year. Some students were unable to finish their internships. Some were stuck in the country and unable to return home after they finished their studies, and some were stuck out of the country and unable to return. Many people lost their jobs or lost their visas, and there's still many in the midst of trials now. Sister Jackie from Venezuela has been stuck in Hong Kong for a year. Pasha took a short trip to Nepal at the beginning of the pandemic, and he's still there, unable to travel. Augustine and Gary haven't been able to reunite with their families yet. Others had family members who passed away and were unable to attend their funerals, like Brother Frank and brother whose father passed away. And Brother Richard Anobi is not sure if he can go back for his father's funeral. So many of you are facing struggles. Some of these struggles and trials are known, and we are praying about it and encouraging each other as a body. But I believe others are known maybe just by you. Through these things, you pressed on. You're still here, right? We didn't do so perfectly. There were times of sin, times of failure, maybe even complaining. But today you are still here. You're still worshiping God. You are still seeking to follow after him. You're still pressing on toward the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. And GICF is still here. And I believe it's not just surviving, but it's flourishing. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows what he is doing. Many times during this last year, I have to remind myself, God knows what he is doing. He has a plan with all of this. and he has a plan for GICF. One of the drawbacks that a large church with lots of people in it may face is that it's hard to get to know others. We go, we listen, and then we return home. But in the last year, we've been meeting in homes. We've been meeting in small groups, and I believe many relationships are forming. Fellowship is actually stronger than before. Brothers and sisters are encouraging each other from God's word, praying together, supporting each other in the midst of these difficulties. So we don't complain about the difficulties that we have faced, but rather we should say, thank you, Lord. You know what you are doing. And that's part of pressing on, being able to say thank you even when it's difficult. One more quick quiz. Last year when I shared the theme message, I asked you to memorize a verse, a theme verse this year. Can anyone, a very bold person, like to attempt to recite last year's theme verse for us? I'm going to start calling names. Stuart, I see you getting close to your computer. Are you going to give it a shot?
Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, we press on to claim the prize towards which we have been called heavenwards in Christ Jesus.
Very good. Right. Excellent. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind. That doesn't mean we forget the lessons learned. We apply the lessons. We keep applying the lessons we learn. But we don't live in the past. We have to keep moving forward. We don't forget the old themes. It's still okay, in case you're not sure, it is still okay to shine the light. You are still allowed to press on. In fact, we still do encourage that for sure. But we're going to press on with a new theme for a new time. So for the last 2 months, we've been praying. We've been asking God to show us what he wants to do in the life of GICF, corporate and individually. And God led us to the following theme. Perhaps you could guess from the songs, from the testimony, but I will share my screen now. And so for 2020, the GICF theme is overcoming through Christ. Overcoming through Christ. And so today we are going to study Romans 8, 28 through 39. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including pandemics, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done in GICF and what you've done in each of us, Lord, in the past year. Lord, giving us strength to press on, to face temptation, Lord, and to be victorious. Lord, teaching us who you are. Lord, giving us fellowship. Lord, we thank you for all the things you've done for us, the good plans that you've had for us. And Lord, we trust in you with the future. Lord, we pray that we will draw close to you, that we will fix our eyes upon you, and we pray that you will strengthen us, Lord, to overcome everything which we might face through Jesus. Please bless the sermon time today as we look into your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take your word and put it into our hearts so that we would not forget it, would convict us of sin, remind us of your goodness and your love for us, and Lord, encourage us to be sanctified and to be holy like you are holy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first point we're going to see from the passage today is overcoming doubt through Christ, remembering that God has a plan for you. Verse 28, which we've quoted often in the past year, says, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes." This section starts off, "And we know." The word "know" occurs in the Bible 1,321 times. The word "feeling," 5. God wants us to know who he is. He wants us to be certain of his character, his plan, and his relationship with us. He does not want us to doubt his goodness or his plan, and he does not want us to be led by our feelings. We can know who he is, and this can strengthen us to overcome and overcome doubt. James 1:6 says, "For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." So today, this morning, God wants you to know that he has a good plan for you. And not just sometimes, not just some years. Paul says all things work together for good. God is sovereign. When we look at this world, sometimes it looks like random chaos. But in fact, God is providentially working, sometimes behind the scenes and sometimes at the front, to bring about his perfect plan for your life. However, there is a condition mentioned here, and that is that he does this for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. In other words, if you love God, if you're a follower of God, his providence is working for you. But if you do not love God and if you do not follow God, then he doesn't make this promise. For those who have maybe been on a rowboat before, sometimes I have tried rowing the boat on the water. And when the wind is behind your back, it feels really, really easy. But then when the wind is against you, then it's very difficult. Well, God can work providentially on your behalf to cause everything to work together for good in your life. So you cannot intentionally disobey God and say, "Well, it's okay. He's going to cause it to work together for good." It doesn't really work like that. Sin has consequences. Bad choices will have bad results for you. But if you are seeking after God, all of the seemingly random things that happen around you are overseen by him, and they're used in your life for a reason. Sometimes God uses these to develop your Christian character. Sometimes they're used to build your faith and your perseverance. Sometimes they're used to bring you to a new place, a new job, or a new calling. But always God uses them to accomplish his purposes. Our life also changed quite a bit due to the pandemic. I had worked at the same school for 12 years. Right before the pandemic, the management changed, and then they lost all their students almost overnight. in the process, I lost my job there as they didn't have any funds. But God brought us through. He provided a better situation and job than before. He caused these things to work together for good in my life. Why? Because he is good. Now, from the very beginning, one of Satan's most powerful temptations, his most often used weapon, is to try to get people to doubt God's goodness. He tempted Eve in this way, implying that God was not good, that God was keeping them from something good by restricting them from eating the fruit. And he caused her to doubt God's words, saying, did God really say? And the implication of the whole exchange is God really good? Does he really care for you? Does he really want the best for you? Or does he have some other plan or some ulterior motive? Well, we can overcome these doubts through Christ, remembering what suffered on our behalf. If he wasn't good, if he didn't care about you, he would not have died for you. So when tempted to remember what Jesus faced for you on the cross. In John 10:11, it says, I laid down his life for the sheep. He is good. And he proved God is good today, yesterday, and forever. He is good. It's not just to feel it, but to know this truth, to believe it. And when you hold in faith to this knowledge, it's firm, even when everything around you feels like it's falling apart. It will help you to overcome doubt. Battle is in the mind. We need to overcome any doubt or confusion and remember. The next thing that we see in this passage is in verses 20. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the first whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he glorified. So in verse 28, we see that God works things together for the good of his children. He has a perfect plan for you. What is that plan? What is his plan for you? What is he trying to do in your life? Well, these verses show us the answer. It is the plan of salvation. And these verses tell us the things that God does for us. He foreknows, he predestines, he conforms, he calls, he justifies, and he glorifies. I want us to take note of several things from these verses. First, let's look at God's role. What is God doing? Even as we talk about overcoming through Christ, we need to think about what is he doing and then how do we need to respond to that. Well, God chose us. He took the initiative. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We also sang that song today, this morning, about how he loved us before we even knew him. God didn't look ahead at some distant point in the future and think, oh, yeah, Stuart or Jason or Victor, these are really, really good guys. These are good people. And said, yeah, he's a good one, so I'm going to choose him. That's not how it works. We can all look at our life and say we aren't good. No, not one of us is good. God's predestination is his predetermined choice to love you, to save you, individual sinners. Sinners who are ugly and who are not good. So when you look at what is happening here, you can see that God is the one who is at work. He predestines and he conforms. He calls, he justifies, he glorifies. He's sovereign. He is taking the initiative. Your salvation is a result of his work, not your own. And your sanctification is through him. And this gives us confidence to overcome sin because we know that he is sanctifying us. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." What God started in your life, he's going to finish. And this is very important. Our theme is not just overcoming. It's not just by your own strength or willpower. Because by your own strength and willpower, you cannot overcome sin. Before we came to Christ, I'm sure many of us can think of different sins in our lives which we wanted to stop, in which we tried to stop, in which we told ourselves many times, "I'm going to stop doing it," and then fail. We cannot just wake up one day and decide, "I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to drink that alcohol. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to lose my temper." Your own willpower is not enough to change you. So how can we overcome these things? Well, it is through Christ. He is the one changing you. The Holy Spirit is regenerating your heart. God's role is the justifier, the savior, the sanctifier. And that gives us confidence that through his power, we can overcome sin. What is our role? Can we just kick our feet back? You know, relax. Okay, God's going to do it. I can just take it easy. You know, watch some Netflix. God's going to change me. Well, what's our role? We are the ones being conformed. Yes, we are the clay. He is the potter. But we need to be cooperative clay. We cooperate with him as he works in our lives. And we do this by submitting our will to his. And even by asking him, "God, we want you to change us. We want to have victory in these areas. God, give us that strength," and keep on praying and coming to his word and asking his spirit for help day by day. We have to be willing to come to that point and say, "We want to be changed by you. Have your way in my life." So if you're resisting his will or just taking a very passive role, thinking, "Okay, I can just sit here and God's going to change me," then it's not going to work. We have to be active, to be obedient to him. So our role is to cooperate and submit and, of course, pray and ask him for help. What is the purpose of all of this? We saw even before the world began, God chose you to be his child, to be in his family. Why does he predestine us? For what purpose? Verse 29 has the answer. It says, "To be conformed to the image of his son." God did not call you so that you could live a life, some kind of security blanket to say, "I'm going to keep living my own life, my own way. I'm going to sin and sin and sin, but then I'll ask God to forgive me and I'll go to heaven. Everything will be okay." God didn't call you for that reason. He didn't call you so that you would stay in your chains. Ephesians 1:5 again says, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." God called you to be holy and blameless. He called you because he wants to sanctify you. God wants you to be free of the chains of sin. He wants you to live a holy and abundant life, which he has prepared for you. So God may allow all kinds of difficult things to happen in your life. And when we saw in verse 28 that he works these things together for good, it means he wants to use these things happening in your life for a reason. And the primary reason, although there's more than one, the primary reason is to sanctify you. to use these things in your life to change you. They may not be comfortable. They may not be easy. They may not be enjoyable. But if you cooperate and allow God to use these things to develop your godly character, then it is worth it. So I believe that this year, God wants to sanctify you. He wants to accomplish something great in your life. He wants to set you free from the sins which may be controlling you. He wants you to overcome sin through the power of Christ. So far in our passage, we've seen that we can overcome doubt through Christ because he has a plan for us. We see that we can overcome sin through Christ because he is sanctifying us. In the next point in our passage, verses 31 through 34, is that we can overcome opposition through Christ because God is for us. Let's read together verses 31 through 34 one more time. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. In verse 31, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? This verse encourages us in the midst of opposition. Our confidence is not in ourselves. It's not in your intelligence, your abilities, or your wealth. Your confidence should be in the fact that God is for you. Think about that for a moment. Isn't that an amazing promise? Isn't that an amazing statement? The creator of heavens and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the sovereign ruler of the universe is for you. And he's not just for you in a general sense. He knows you by name. And as we've seen already, he's providentially arranging every detail of your life for your good. Those with children should understand this concept. Perhaps your children have taken part in some sports competition or maybe in a music recital. What were you doing while they were in these competitions or performances? Well, probably before the competition, you encouraged them. And during the competition, you cheered for them. After the competition, you congratulate them and perhaps give them some tips. Did you root against them? Well, of course not. You don't root against your own children. You want to see them succeed. Now, in a similar way, our Heavenly Father wants you to be successful. And if he is for you, then who can be against you? When I think of this concept, I'm reminded of maybe a kid on a playground, and there's some bullies bothering this kid. So he decides to get his big brother, who is bigger and stronger than them, and then the big brother accompanies him to the playground. He doesn't feel scared anymore. He's not afraid of the opposition because he knows that his brother will take care of him and protect him from these things. God is for you. You may feel that you've been facing a lot of opposition. Maybe your boss or a parent is set against you. Hopefully not. Or maybe because they're not a believer and you are, so they're giving you some pressure. Maybe bureaucratic restrictions or red tape make life hard for you. These are nothing for God. If he wants, he can take away this opposition immediately. If he has not wiped away the opposition, it's for a reason. What is the reason? He wants to sanctify you, right? He wants to use it for good in your life. So if you're still facing those oppositions, I hope that you'll come to the point where you say, thank you, God. I know that you're using this for my good. The same is true, not just for us as individuals, but also for GICF as a body. As we are all wondering, when can we meet again? When will we be able to go back again? And we are working for that. We are praying for that. But we also know if we're not together all again in one place yet, it's for a reason. God has a plan. He is for us. This should be our confidence going forward. Don't get stressed or worried about what the government or what different bureaucracies are doing. If God is for us, nothing can be against us. This should be our confidence as we go forward. God gives us everything that is good. God doesn't just say, yeah, I'm for you, and just leave it there. But he proved this truth by action. How do we know that God is for us? We said the word know is very important. We can know these things. Well, when you're at a low, discouraged, surrounded by a storm, waves on every side, how can you really know that he is for you? Just take a look at the passage just for a moment. Look at the passage yourself and see if from verses 31 through 34, you can find the answer of how we can know that he is for us. If you find that, you can post it into the chat. The answer is in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So this is called a greater than, lesser than argument. And this logic is often used throughout the Bible. If the greater thing is true, then the lesser thing must also be true. For example, if I'm willing to sell all my possessions and give you everything I have to help you with medical bills when you need it, then surely I'd also be willing to buy you a bowl of rice if you're hungry. Greater than, lesser than. If God gave his own son for us, and if Jesus gave his own life for us, if God would make this sacrifice, then surely he would be willing to give us anything else that is good for us. And he has. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So when you're discouraged about the opposition that you face, meditate on God's goodness and count the good blessings in your life. Another point we can get from these verses is that God justifies you in the courtroom. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who is to condemn? Some may try. Satan is the chief accuser. He accused Job before God, claiming that Job only followed God for the riches and health that he could get. In this world, some may accuse us as well. But these accusations will not be successful. Verse 33 says, it is God who justifies. Jesus himself died for you. He legally took the punishment for your sins. The gavel has come down. And for those genuinely in Christ, the Almighty Judge has himself declared that you are innocent. When that happens, all accusations will be summarily thrown out of court. Now, interestingly, God is the only one who could make a successful accusation because all sin is against God. He could accuse you and be right in doing so, but he doesn't. Instead, he justifies you and declares you to be righteous if you are in Christ. Not only that, but Jesus is interceding for us. Jesus' work on your behalf was not ended at the cross. The work of salvation was complete, but the work of sanctification was just beginning. So here we get an amazing glimpse into what Jesus is doing right now. He's at the right hand of God. And he's not resting after mission accomplished, but he's actively interceding for you. What is interceding? Well, interceding is the opposite of accusing. He is advocating on your behalf. 1 John 2:1 says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is pleading on your behalf. He's like a defense lawyer arguing your favor. Now, if you were to pick a lawyer, you would want the best one, right? And Jesus is the best lawyer. He's representing your well-being in the highest court, the highest throne in the universe. That might include petitioning for more help or tools on your behalf to fight sin and temptation, maybe pleading for mercy, certainly declaring the accusations of Satan to be null and void because the debt of your sin has been paid in full. I believe he's also taking our prayers and maybe fixing them and then bringing them to the Father. So we see what God is doing for us. He gives us everything that is good, including his Son. We are justified in his divine courtroom, and we see that Jesus is actively interceding for us. So what does that mean? How does that change us? Well, that should change your attitude in how you fight against sin. It should change how you respond to opposition. You shouldn't fear or stress. You shouldn't give up. God wants you to win. He is rooting for you. He is helping you. Place your confidence in him. Ask him to strengthen you and then fight. If you want to know about fights, we had a theme, I think in 2016, was fight the good fight. So we trust in him, but we fight the good fight. We place our confidence in him. So don't go backwards, certainly, and don't just float along, but we want to overcome through Christ. Another lesson we can get from these verses is to overcome obstacles through Christ. And we can do this because we also know the truth that Jesus does not stop loving you. Verses 35 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus loving you does not mean you will not face these things. He doesn't say that he would deliver us out of these things. He doesn't promise an easy or a carefree life. You might face these things, but the promise is that you cannot be separated from his love. He will love you even in the midst of them. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. Much of the world is becoming increasingly hostile toward believers. Right now, that hostility is often a war of words. Sometimes pressure and intimidation is used to try to force believers to compromise on the truth. And sadly, it often works. A Christian writer and preacher, some of you may have heard of him, Max Licato, was asked to speak at an event in February. Before the event, LGBTQ supporters uncovered a message he preached in 2004 defending biblical principles of marriage, which is one man and one woman. So he was attacked. Now, after this war of words, after this intimidation or attacking, how did he respond? Well, he actually apologized for that message and then backtracked on it. And he said that faithful people may disagree about what the Bible says about homosexuality. Well, actually, the Bible is very clear on that. And he said they are, meaning everyone, is beloved children of God. Well, John 1:12 says those who receive him and believe in his name are children of God. The point is this, if you follow Jesus, there will be pressure, maybe intimidation, persecution, opposition. whose love do you desire more? Will you seek after the world's affirmation? Will you try to please people? Or will you try to please Jesus? I'm really concerned about much of the church worldwide, because if so many Christians fall away at the first sign of pressure, what will happen when the real persecution starts? Brothers and sisters, God does not promise an easy life. If you're looking for a comfortable and easy life, look elsewhere. But if you're looking for an abundant life lived in the power and love of Christ, then look no further. You will face trouble. I'm sure you can think of many troubles you have faced this past year and still are facing. But take heart. Jesus overcame. He will not stop loving you. He will not abandon you. Verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Jesus has overcome the world. Through him, you can overcome too. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. This is important to remember as you move forward. Remember this. It's interesting to have an application where you're just remembering, but if you remember this, then it will help you as you face these oppositions or temptations. So far, we have seen that Christ can overcome, through Christ, we can overcome doubt, sin, obstacles, and opposition, in fact, everything. We have seen that God has good plans for us. He's sanctifying us. He is for us, and he will not stop loving us. This year, we have two theme verses. I was back and forth, and we were looking at these verses and decided, well, we all like a buy one, get one free deal, right? So this year is a special year, and we have two special verses. A bonus one. I would encourage you to memorize these verses this year, so that next year, at the end of the theme, when we ask, you will know them by heart. Revelation 3:21, the one who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. In Romans 8:37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So I would encourage you to start memorizing these verses this week and keep reviewing them throughout the year. Later in this year, we're going to study the first part of Revelation, the letters to the churches from Jesus. We're really looking forward to that. We're going to finish up in Exodus first. Before we finish today, I want to share a few testimonies from a number of GICF brothers and sisters on how God has helped them overcome when they face trials or temptations. In fact, God is at work in each one's lives, and we have stories of how God has helped us, and these stories can encourage us as we go forward and face these things ourselves. So give me one moment to share this video with you.
Through this trying time, God has drawn me and my family deeper into his word and reminded us, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. This perspective has given hope and a reminder that we aren't to be carried away by the current hardship.
In difficult times, I recite Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I know that God is in control of my life, and I know that God has a plan for me. I encourage you today to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, because God has a plan for you, and God is in control of your life. So be encouraged today. God bless you.
Last year, our family was separated by COVID-19 for 5 months in different countries, and we found that time very hopeless and frustrating.
But praise God that he overcame the situation and reunited us again as a family before Esmond's birth.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Victor.
My name is Anna.
Last year, our family faced multiple difficulties and trials. We didn't even have a place to stay, and we faced very many financial difficulties.
But as in 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, Christ help us to be victorious, to can tell other people about him.
And Christ did help us to be victorious. On our own, we couldn't have done it, but we followed what Scripture says, to trust God with all of our hearts, and he will provide everything else. And he did provide. And so we are very thankful, and we are very grateful to our Lord Jesus Christ for helping us. Amen.
Amen.
People have short memories, which is why Samuel set up the Ebenezer stone as a reminder of God's works. In a way, God's people are the same, living stones. And like the Ebenezer stone, those in our Lighthouse group have been a constant inspiration to remember God's works and renew my dedication to the Lord.
For the past 15 years, I've struggled with chronic pain, and sometimes I'm tempted to despair. But it seems almost every day the Lord reminds me that these temporary light afflictions are producing for me a way to eternal glory far beyond all comparison. I am comforted to know that my suffering isn't an accident caused by nature, but it's something that my Heavenly Father is doing for my benefit. And that comforts me greatly.
In 2020, we lost 9 outlets, 2 businesses, and also 2 companies. We even lost our place to stay. We kept trusting him. In December, he opened up new doors for us. We managed to have 3 outlets within 2 months. This can only be done through him.
Amen. God is at work. He knows what he is doing. So I pray that this year, GICF will overcome through Christ. And I pray that this will be a year in which you individually also see great breakthroughs as God sanctifies you. So as we get ready to finish today, I want you to take a moment and pray. I want you to ask God to reveal to you an area where you have been entangled in sin. It could be an addiction such as alcohol or porn. It could be an attitude of complaining or pride. It could be an anger problem, maybe a poor response to a trial. So take a moment and pray. Ask God to reveal to you what area he needs you to work on in you this year. Hey, does something come to your mind? Do you perhaps want freedom? Do you want God to sanctify you in some area? If so, just tell him, repent of any sin, ask him to help you overcome through Christ. God to speak to you and reveal to you, then I would also invite you to, if something comes to mind, write it down on a piece of paper. Write it down on your phone and then keep it during the year and keep praying throughout the year that God would help you to overcome this. Make it a regular matter of prayer. Make it a focus when you read his word. At some point in the year, perhaps you may want to share it with some other believers who can also encourage and help you and pray for you. Christ can sanctify you. He is for you, and through his power, you can overcome. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us of your good plans for us, reminding us of your choice of us. You sanctify us. You want to conform. You are for us. You love us. Nothing can separate us from your love. You justify us, and you, Jesus, are advocating for us, interceding for us. Thank you so much, Lord, for all of these things. We have confidence in you. And Lord, we pray that this year you would change us, that you would give us faith in all of these situations, and that you would give us commitments, Lord, to obey you, to seek you. And Lord, we pray that each one here would see real changes in their life, Lord, as you work in them and help them to overcome. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.